Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning. Happy Friday. The vibes are way up today. James Hamm is there. Joe Brazil is here. I'm Kyle Madsen. We survived our trip to Cache Creek, guys. We did it. Congratulations, everyone. We had a great time last night. Out at Cache Creek Casino Resort. We did a live draft show from 4 to 5 p.m. Quick shout out to you, Joe, for coming out and doing double duty with promotions and helping us out, getting everything set up, keeping us on time. We appreciate the heck out of you. We appreciate the heck out of Jesse Tapia for running the board.
Thank you,
back
Jesse.
Here in the studio.
Shout out to Jesse.
That allowed Joe to be out with us. That was awesome. Shout out to Jesse. My folks, big shout out to my folks for coming out. I'm not going to applaud everybody here. It's obnoxious. I'm going to Fernando and Miguel.
Yes.
Came out. They weren't there for the show, but they came out, watched the draft with us, hung out with us. We had dinner together. Had a great time hanging out with the homies Fernando
Two
and Miguel.
Great guys.
You know what? Hey, what the hell with
give
it?
Them,
do more
they deserve
more
it. One more.
Another one? You want another one?
No, that was the one.
Yeah, oh, okay. Very good. And Leslie, the sales rep from San Francisco, who was there attending, she was great. And Peter, our sales rep, who was there attending, setting everything up, making sure we had everything we needed. And, of course, the great people at Cache Creek who hooked us up. We had coffee. We had still water and sparkling water, sodas.
A big snack bowl.
It was
a
awesome.
A bowl of snack, just a cornucopia of snacks.
Kenny would have been passed out in the corner,
just
like
in his
covered
element.
In snack wrappers.
Yeah.
He would have just been like laid out, like, oh, the snacks.
Yeah, it was a beautiful, beautiful space. Rooms were really nice. The food was great. The drinks were good. The company was great. Shout out to the Joe Bros as well. The Joe Bros, Nick and Nick.
Shout out to Nick and Nick for making the drive out as well.
Yeah, that was awesome. One of the Knicks is the Glizzy King. The other one's a Dodger fan. You know, you can't win them all.
You can't.
And Joe's dad, Mr. Brazil, was out there.
All right, we're doing the applause for all of them. There
we go. Everybody gets applause today. Sorry.
Shout out to everybody that came out. I appreciate everybody. Yeah,
Charlie drove all the way out.
And Charlie. Course.
Oh, and Jonathan, our engineer,
yes.
who came out. And
Jonathan.
It was
saint.
A little touch and go getting us set up. It was like 3:45, and he's on the phone with somebody talking about IP addresses. I'm like, uh-oh. That doesn't sound good. But, of course, Jonathan is the very best in the business and got us all up and rolling. And we appreciate everybody who tuned in to a special edition of the Insiders, the NFL Draft Edition yesterday out at Cache Creek. We had a ton of fun. Speaking of yesterday, we did not announce our winner of Wednesday's $500.
No.
That was Susie in Sacramento. Congratulations to Susie, who won $500.
She wouldn't pick up her phone, so eventually she picked
eventually
up her phone.
Yeah. She eventually did.
Yep.
And then yesterday's winner, because we're giving away $500 again today, we'll give you that keyword coming up in a bit. Kyle in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Kyle.
Shout out to Kyle.
We did it.
In Sacramento.
I am not eligible to win or enter, so it's not me. It's a different Kyle.
Thank you.
I'm not from Sacramento. I'm not in Sacramento. I mean, I am right now. I'm in Roseville right now.
Kyle in Roseville.
That would have been
Kyle M in Roseville.
It'd be Kyle in Roseville by way of somewhere in the Bay. It's like, oh, okay. No, Kyle in Sacramento. Congratulations on winning $500, and your chance to win $500 is coming up later on in this show. If you don't win this week, that's okay. We're doing it all again next week, Monday through Friday. We'll be giving away $500 every single day. All right, let's talk about the NFL draft, because I learned last night as I was sitting here. Last night was legitimately the first time I've ever done something for the NFL draft. I was watching home.
Oh.
I was sitting by myself.
You mean like go somewhere for the, okay.
Yeah, because for the last 10 years or whatever, I've had to cover it. And before that, I would just watch, like I'm just at home. It's just a thing that's on.
That's it. Right? It's like, so for the last 15 years, I've been at Golden One Center.
Right.
Well, no, because I didn't go, was it last year that, last year I was in, I believe, Cabo. during the NBA draft.
Yeah, that's
time,
right. That's right.
Right, because we didn't think they were going to draft, but either way, I was going to be back in time for the press conference and all that stuff. So I'm used to being there at the arena, and like we all hang out, and they usually put us in the practice facility. They've got big drapes everywhere, and then we all just like we have unlimited food, and there's big TVs, and we're sitting there watching and hanging out, and then we eventually get a player via phone call.
It's more or less a draft. It's more or less a draft watch party that you're attending until you get to interview the player.
Yeah, but our draft party is just media. It's just the media folks. We're in a room by ourselves. Like even when they did draft parties, the Kings did big draft parties and opened up the arena and had everybody you know flood in to go watch the draft. We still are always off to the side somewhere, like not with that group.
Yeah.
Although I do know one time I was doing a draft, a Facebook Live draft show with Jim Cosmore and John Wilson from our set at NBC.
Sure.
And it was when they drafted Marvin Bagley. And it was like, oh, man, they drafted. I said, I told you they were going to draft
so
Marvin.
Deflating.
And then it was like, well, what do you think? It's like, well, I think I would have drafted Luka, but at the same time, you know, Marvin Bagley should be a pretty solid player. And I wasn't correct.
Well, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
I learned last night, though, that I could never attend the NFL draft. And I think it's because I'm not optimistic enough. It's insane. Did you see 270,000 people?
Terrifying.
In the city of Green Bay, the town of Green Bay is 105,000, I think, on the last census.
Okay.
Just almost tripled their population of football fans. And you stand there for hours to hear your team call their a name that you may or may not know.
Yeah.
You may or may not have heard of this player. The Vikings took Donovan Jackson, offensive lineman from Ohio State. How many Vikings fans in attendance in Green Bay last night do you think had strong opinions about Donovan Jackson?
None.
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero of them. But you got to go and you got to cheer. I'm not optimistic enough for that. Do you see the reaction? When people are like, yeah, yeah, come on, let's go, go Paco. Like, what? Okay, I guess.
I think it's an excuse to party.
It is. That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. But look, if I'm going to go stand in a crush of people and do nothing and party, and I'm just going to go to Times Square on New Year's Eve. If I want to hate an experience and go, yeah, it wasn't worth it, that's what I'd rather do than go to the NFL. Because they would cut to me. Here's me at the NFL draft, dressed mostly normal. I'm not going to wear face paint and stuff. They're going to cut to me and be like, okay, let's see how it works out.
Yeah.
All right. Like Mikal Williams, their number 11 pick. Okay, I see the vision. Like, am I super hyped about it? Eh, I guess, okay, he's a fine player. We'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Just cut to me. I'm like, I guess.
It's fine.
I don't have it in me to be that blindly optimistic.
No.
I just can't do it. I can't do it.
Yeah, I
know too many. I know too many things.
Plus, you know, like I'll say, like the first time I got COVID was we had to go to the draft party for just the media. Mm-hmm. And one of my fellow media members gave it to me. This is the only place I'd been in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And so I'm just thinking of all those people, like how many people are coming out of there with like a massive cold? Like there were a lot of people. There were so many people, of people. How many people are going to be sick?
And I bet the hangovers post-draft are just hellacious.
Yeah.
Anyways, the Las Vegas Raiders did the Ashton Jeanty thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I were both kind of on the same page where, you know what, offensive line is probably the smarter pick here. But I thought a lot about Ashton Jeanty last night. And I think this is actually the right pick for the Raiders.
Oh.
I've changed my mind, yeah.
All right,
because this hit me while I was writing over at NinersWire.com last night. I was looking at guys available on day two, and you start scrolling through some of the guys available on day two, and you go, "Man, there are so many high quality prospects left." And the Raiders' bet here is Levi Edwards, who covers the Raiders. He's the Raiders' in-house reporter.
Mm-hmm.
Said that Ashton Jeanty just won the That Boy Nice contest. I'm like, yeah, I think that's right. I think that's kind of where the Raiders landed. There wasn't a ton of top-end talent in this draft. There were... Ashton Gentry was a consensus top three or four player in the draft. Certainly top five. And the Raiders went, okay, we have a chance to take one of the five best players in this draft, and then we'll sort out the other stuff later in a deep draft. In a draft where you go, okay, we love the depth, but the top-end talent's not really there, and you have a chance to get a top-end talent, you just do it. Just do that thing.
Yeah, and I also think it's a very, very Raiders pick. Like, we talked about this, like,
yesterday. It's a very Pete Carroll pick, too.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, but it is. It's one of those picks where you're like, well, they do often go for flash. That's sort of the mantra that's been with that franchise for the last, like, 50-something years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anytime you think that they're going to do something that would be normal and sane and just, like, you know, according to Hoyle, they go off script. And for me, this one, I was fine with it because it's like, hey, at least you have potential to be fun. At least he will be exciting. Mm-hmm. Like, you hope that you can put an offensive line that will support him.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a lot of other holes that they've got to fill, whether it's like receiver or just like overall depth, like defense. They've got tons of holes. But for one moment, it's like, hey, like, why not win the draft? Mm-hmm. Why not win the first round? Because I think that's what the Raiders did. They got one of the most exciting players in the draft, if not the most exciting player in the draft. And you see how it works out.
Yeah, man. If you're convicted that he is, I saw Mark Sousa say, the problem is there's 10 to 12 crazy running back prospects in the draft. Chargers got Omarion Hampton 20 picks later. He said that in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320. I disagree. Ashton Gentry is way better than whoever they're going to get at 37.
Okay.
I believe that he is substantially better than Travion Henderson or Caleb Johnson or whoever, Quinshon Judkins, pick your next favorite running back. I think he is a clear tier above those players. And maybe it doesn't work out, but when you have a guy, if you are convicted in your room and you go, yo, this is the best running back available, he is the best player on our board without question, we think with the pieces we have and what's available later in the draft that this is a franchise cornerstone type of player, you have to do it. You just have to do it. I understand the running back value conversation. I fully get it. We talked about it with the Niners. Hey, if Ashton Gentry falls to 11, do you take him? Like, we talked about, we had that value conversation. But for the Raiders, for what Pete Carroll wants to do offensively, and for the rest of the depth in this draft, and in a there's not a lot of top-end talent draft, go get a top-end talent, man. And if it doesn't work out, if you're the Saquon Barkley Giants, oh well. But I'd way rather take that swing than overdraft an offensive lineman at six,
mm-hmm.
or not overdraft an offensive lineman, but overdraft anybody at six, or take a worse player on my board because, you know what, Ashton Gentry's great, but we think we can get an okay running back later. I just don't. I'm not going to subscribe to that here.
Well, that, and I would add this, that first of all, you have another six rounds to bolster the offensive line and mm-hmm. try to get players that will help him,
mm-hmm.
right? Secondly, it's not like you're drafting a guy for 1 year. You can build out part of the offensive line this year. You can build out part of the offensive line next year. And hopefully you find a moment where he just is able to explode and be like the player that we all think he can be.
Yep.
But it doesn't have to be all at one time. And you're hoping that they're on the right path of building something. And this gives them a very, very exciting player for people to tune into.
Can I tell you... The other thing that jumps out to me with this pick
mm-hmm.
for the Raiders specifically, their running back room is like nobody right now.
Yeah.
There's nobody in their running back room to be excited about. Do you know how bad their run game was last year?
How bad was it, Kyle?
There were I'll tell you how bad it was, James. Five players in the NFL outrushed the Raiders.
Mm.
There were five NFL players who had more rushing yards than the Las Vegas Raiders' entire team.
Well, that's crazy.
They needed a player like Ashton Gentry who's good at running through contact, who has great balance through contact. He has all the vision and explosiveness. And Pete Carroll, we do so much like in-depth draft conversation, and you read these scouting reports and just weaknesses and strengths and can he do this? And he has this arm length and he does this workout. Pete Carroll's analysis of the pick was, quote, he was hard to tackle.
End quote.
End quote. There was more than that, but.
Okay.
He said he was hard to tackle. Like, yeah, man. And you needed a running back. You needed to help your running game. And okay, is your offensive line going to be perfect? Is it going to be best offensive line in the league? No. But, dude, you have a running back that can help make up for some of those deficiencies.
Okay, so Mason last year for the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
What did he finish with? 900 and something yards, right?
Jordan Mason finished with 789 yards.
Okay, so 789 yards. Alexander Mattison had 420 to lead the Raiders in rushing.
400.
And Amir Abdullah had 311. Jordan Mason, the 49ers' third running back to start the season, ended up with more rushing yards than the top two running backs on the Raiders.
Okay, here's I'll continue that stat. Alexander Mattison, 420 yards. The same amount of yards as Isaac Garendo, the 49ers' fourth running back.
Yeah.
And he had 48 fewer carries.
Oof.
Do you know who outrushed Alexander Mattison last year?
I don't know.
Well, first of all, 52 NFL players. Do you know who outrushed it? Drake May.
Drake
May. The quarterback for the New England Patriots had more rushing yards than the Raiders' leading rusher.
There's probably five quarterbacks that outrush the
Bo
Raiders.
Bo Nix, 430. Caleb Williams, 489. Anthony Richardson, 499. Josh Allen, 531. That's six quarterbacks now?
Wow.
That's five, sorry. Here's six, Kyler Murray. Here's seven, Jalen Hurts. Here's eight, Jaden Daniels. Here's nine, Lamar Jackson. Nine quarterbacks had more rushing yards than the Raiders' leading rusher last year.
That's wild.
We can talk process, and if you're a, they should have gone offensive line and gone running back later because of value and this and that, okay. But I fully understand, and I am fully on board with, you know what? There's a top-end talent available in a draft, or there's not a lot of it. We're going to make sure we get that guy in our building. Just draft good dudes.
Yep.
Draft good players and build around them. I like what the Raiders did. I like a little bit less what the 49ers did. Hmm. We'll talk about that next. We're diving into the NFL draft. We're diving into the NBA playoffs. Tons coming up here. And I also, you mentioned the A's are very close to turning things around. Their walk-off win last night, I think, might have been a turning point in their season. We'll tell you why next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil. We're talking a ton of NFL draft today on The Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
We have other things to get to. We're going to talk NFL draft and why I'm not super stoked about the 49ers pick. But if you want to talk some baseball with us, hop over to youtube.com/ESPN1320 or twitch.tv/ESPN1320 because I'm going to nerd out at the next break.
Okay.
Because on the video streams, we're just here through the breaks. We don't go to commercial. So I'm going to nerd out over Jacob Wilson's contact rate when we get back. But Ashton Gentry, I'm a big fan of that pick for the Raiders. For the 49ers, with the number 11 overall pick, they took defensive end Mykal Williams out of Georgia. So I have many thoughts.
Yeah, this is a player you were not high on going into the draft.
No, but not like low on him. Mm-hmm. Like not, like he stinks. It wasn't that. But it was more, I just don't see this. There are people who have this idea that he is like, oh man, this is just an all-pro in waiting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't, maybe I'm wrong. I've been wrong a lot. But I don't hate the pick for the 49ers. I do think it's weird that John Lynch admitted that they tried to trade up for a player who fell to them at 11 anyway.
Yeah, it very much felt like Vlade Divac saying we had a better deal 2 days ago.
Yeah, just, and it, again, not like the end of the world, not saying John Lynch should be fired for this or anything, but what?
Yeah.
I guess you're gassing up the pick and going, we were so excited that we were going to trade up, but yo, you were just going to give up draft capital to move up for a player you didn't need to trade up for?
Everyone's like, that's draft capital, man.
Why would you do that?
You don't do that.
It's ridiculous. My guess is, so the reporting around it is that the 49ers tried to trade up. I have not seen with who yet. My guess is Carolina at 8, because they were the ones that the reporting was they were trying to trade back.
Okay.
My guess is John Lynch called and said, hey, we'll give you 11 and a fifth round pick for 8. And they said no. That would be my guess. They just tried to kind of swindle whatever team it was. And
okay.
Team said no. That.
Some minor draft capital.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's funny.
I think Mykal Williams has a very high floor as a player. A really good run defender. Super violent. Checks all the boxes, like size-wise. 6'5", 267. He's got the long arms. And just a really, really effective run defender, and I think he'll be able to do that right away. Mm-hmm. But the question is, and when you're taking a player 11th overall, like, can you get to that upside as a pass rusher? You need to sack the quarterback. That's the whole thing with being a defensive end, especially in the modern NFL. It's nice that you can set the edge and you can play the run, but like, bro, if you're on an island with their offensive tackle and you're just getting stonewalled every time you're trying to get to the quarterback, that's a detriment. Mm-hmm. And it's not like he had no production. I think he had 14 sacks across 3 seasons. His best year from a pressures perspective was as a freshman at Georgia. He had 33 pressures that year. I get it. Like, I understand it. And I understand why people who are smarter than me are high on him. But on the other hand, a lot of it is projection and going, okay, well, he has the tools to develop into a great pass rusher. Okay, I don't disagree. Here's my problem. What pass rusher have the 49ers developed? What pass rusher have they brought in? Because that was, Nick Bosa was pro ready day one. He was easy pick. He was supposed to go first overall until the Cardinals decided they didn't want Josh Rosen anymore. So that was an easy pick. That was a layup, and he was going to be awesome, I think, regardless of the team he went to. You have Drake Jackson.
Yeah.
A second-round pick who he's dealt with injury stuff, but was a mess before that. Mm-hmm. He had 3 sacks in that Pittsburgh game and is to start it in week 1 of his second season. Cleanup sack. He had a motor that allowed him to get to the quarterback after other people applied the pressure, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say fraudulent numbers, but it's not like he's like, oh man, Drake Jackson, huge game. He had 3 sacks. They brought in a guy like Deion Jordan, former number 3 overall pick. All the tools, all the stuff. Hey, get him in this building. He's not an effective player. They've had guys like Robert Beal.
How many guys did they draft in the first round or high picks that never worked out? Lots. Like first, second,
Solomon
third round.
Solomon Thomas, number 3 overall pick in 2017.
Yeah, Street.
Kentavious Street. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. They have had a just this list of players, and I get like Arden Key, for example. I think Arden Key is the one everybody circles because he kind of flamed out with the Raiders, came to the 49ers, had a really, really nice year, and signed a contract, I think, with Tennessee and carved out an NFL career after coming to the Niners. But that's not developing a pass rusher. That's utilizing a player who was with another team for a few seasons, and now you're going to bring him in and you're going to try and put him into positions to succeed. That's what they did. They moved him around the offensive line or the defensive line, mm-hmm. rush him from different spots. I don't have any evidence that tells me that Chris Kocurek and Robert Saleh and the 49ers coaching staff is going to be able to turn him into this awesome pass rusher that everybody thinks he can be. There's no history of it.
No, that's fair. I mean, I think it's fair. You can go back a little bit, like to was it Buckner and Eric Armstead, guys that, you know, like were. But again, we're talking top tier picks,
and we're talking, bro, we're talking before Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch got there.
Yeah, yeah, that's tough.
That
Yeah, when like Kerry Hyder shows up and is your like second best sack guy.
Sure.
You probably have a problem.
Yeah, I don't. I'm sorry. Eric Armstead and DeForest Buckner, you don't get credit for developing those guys.
No, no.
I don't.
Well, yeah, but if we're going to give, if somehow he does develop it, you know, this year, that this specific player, Mikael Williams, like develops and becomes a star, then we can't just say, well, he was a number 11 pick, so, you know.
No.
Like, but they got to prove that they can do it.
Yeah, that's it. They have not, and you know what? I will even concede. You know what? I will concede. DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead are great success stories. They're also defensive tackles.
Mm-hmm.
We have not seen that. Robert Beal is the player I keep coming back to. Another Georgia defensive end. I remember when he got drafted, all we heard was, man, he can really get off the ball, and he has all these measurables. He checks all the physical boxes, and he's just not a good NFL player. Like, that's where you would hope, okay, hey, you can develop this guy into the... But, man, you had to bring in Samson Ebukam. You had to trade for Malik Collins. You had to trade for... you had to sign Javon Hargrave in free agency because the Javon Kinlaw pick didn't work out. Like, they've had to piece together these defensive lines because they've not been able to develop their draft picks.
Yeah.
So maybe it works. I hope it does. But if I'm going to do backflips because they drafted a pass rusher with potential, it's like, yeah, well, we've seen this before.
I mean, Robert Beal has one sack total in his career.
One. And I think it might have been in his NFL debut.
That's possible. It was in his rookie season.
So yeah. I don't think it's a bad pick. I'm not like thumbs down. It's just if he was a really high quality pass rusher, or if the 49ers had this long history of taking guys like Drake Jackson, who didn't really have a position in college, put him in this spot, and man, you know what? Hey, now he's awesome.
Super athlete.
Robert Beal is a quality rotational edge player. You can count on him for a couple, 3-4 sacks a year. He's going to get after the quarterback. He's going to be a problem. Cool. I'd feel so much better about it. The good news is, I think his floor is really high.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is going to be a disaster pick where we're like, oh my God, they screwed this up big time. But I think he's going to be able to play on three downs. If he's really ineffective as a pass rusher, that's a problem. But if he can help your run defense and you grab another edge rusher in the second round or third round who can be that rotational, just kind of go get the quarterback guy, and Mikael Williams is off the field on passing downs right away, I don't hate that. They needed depth.
Mm-hmm.
And they needed, I think he's going to start day one. The upside, you feel good about that. And the other thing, if we're doing positives, there's not a player that they passed on where I'm like, oh my God, like, what are they doing?
Yeah, that's very true. It's not like who took the tight end right before them?
The Bears, Colson Loveland.
Okay, but it wasn't the tight end that everyone thought would go number one.
Tyler Warren.
And so that's where you're like, oh boy. You know, like even like Tyler Warren, like the 49ers don't really need a tight end. They still have Kittle, mm-hmm. and they went out and spent, you know, $21 million or whatever it was on a mm-hmm. backup tight end. Like, so I'm okay with them passing on him early.
Sure.
But for me, like, if you're going to go get a defensive lineman, he better be one of the better ones in the draft. And I think this is one of the better ones in the draft.
So like last year, for example, the Niners took Ricky Pearsall, number 31 overall. And we don't know if Pearsall might be a good player. He might. He's a year in and he barely got that first year. But a player like Ladd McConkey, who had an awesome year for the Chargers, was connected a lot to the 49ers at 31 overall in last year's draft.
Mm-hmm.
You passed up Ladd McConkey for Ricky Pearsall, it's like, ooh.
Yeah.
And then McConkey goes on to have an awesome first year. Cooper DeJean, another player tied to the 49ers heavily. Mike Silver even said they picked him. He goes to the Eagles and is a major player for them in their Super Bowl win. So there were players available last year in the first round where you're like, man, hey, the Pearsall thing feels like a reach. The Mikael Williams pick doesn't feel like a reach. It just, okay. It's just kind of the type of player available. And I think that the quality of player available. I think this tells us a little bit what their strategy is going to be for the rest of the draft.
Okay.
Where we talked a lot about Walter Nolan, right? From Ole Miss, the defensive tackle from Ole Miss. who I think went three picks later.
Something like that.
I get really busy during day one of the draft, and I lose track a little bit. Walter Nolan went five picks later to the Arizona Cardinals. He is one of those really high ceiling, really low floor players for me, where there's a chance he's just not playable.
Oh.
But there's also a chance that he's one of the three best defensive tackles in the league. And I think what the Niners did is they eschewed that ceiling and went, you know what? Mykal Williams may never be an all-pro, but we feel really good that he's going to be here for 4 years at least, and that he's going to be on the field for three downs right away.
A rotational player.
At the very least,
starter,
a rotational player.
Likely.
Yeah.
Yeah, like right off the bat.
Yes. And they'll take the floor instead of the ceiling. And I kind of wonder if that's what we're going to see throughout this draft. Where, hey, maybe there's a more exciting player available, but they just took the rock solid. Yep, this guy is going to start. He's going to be productive. Feel good about it. Maybe not a Pro Bowler, maybe not an All-Pro, but a starter right away.
Yeah, it's weird because they put themselves in a situation where they have so many needs. They actually just need bodies.
That's it.
Which is totally bizarre to have a team that should be this high-end that has, you know, probably 10 or 12 roster spots just like you have to fill, mm-hmm. and probably five positions, like starting positions, that could still be open and mm-hmm. debatable at this point.
Yeah.
It's really surprising because that's not who the Niners usually are. Usually yeah. you're tinkering. Mm-hmm. But I like that this is like, it feels a little bit like a home run swing, right? Because this is a player that does have like crazy upside if you like get him in the perfect situation. Either way, he's still going to be a really solid piece. But from here on out, you need to start stacking singles and doubles like all the way through the draft because that's who you are as a team.
You know, I think that's a good analogy, but I'm going to take it one step further. It's like an Albert Pujols home run swing instead of a Mark McGwire home run swing.
Okay.
You know, Mark McGwire, when he used to hit home runs, they would be like moonshots, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They would go so high and so far. Whereas Albert Pujols, if you ever watched Albert Pujols take batting practice, it was art, dude. It was just these line drives, these rising line drives that would get out of the... He'd hit it and you'd go, oh, wow, there's a double. And then it would carry over the fence. Mm. I think the 49ers are swinging for a double here with the Mykal Williams pick.
Yeah.
And there's a chance that, hey, you know what? They got the right backspin, they hit it to the right part of the yard, and that's going to carry out.
Yep.
That's what I think they're... Like I said, I liked your analogy, and that's the way I think they're thinking about this, though. This to me wasn't the like, hey, you know what? We're swinging for the fences here. Might strike out, might not. No, I think they're trying to hit a double, and if it goes over the fence, they'll be thrilled.
Yeah, they definitely are in a position where they just have to get so many picks. Not like that they are just over the moon great picks, but that they are solid NFL players, that they are contributors, they're guys who are going to be in the league for 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, again, that's where they are right now in their build. And you hope that they can find enough of them.
Honestly, this is what I hope. We were talking about draft grades before mm-hmm. the show. Draft grades are one of my favorite things because they're useless, but I also will eat them up.
Yeah.
I want to know what everybody thinks. I want everybody's take. I'm going to give my take. First thing I did, second thing I did, last night, wrote a grade. I gave it a B.
Okay.
And I think that's what the Niners, I think that's their ideal. Like, let's, if you're grading out this draft, you can't really grade a draft class. 3 years is the magic number. You can't grade a draft class until they've been in the league for 3 years, right? But if you're immediately grading this draft, I think the 49ers are hopeful that, like, yeah, you know what? We'll take a B. Because that means they got solid players, not anybody that everybody's, you know, hey, really love the ceiling here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nope, take a B.
Okay.
Just that level of draft. Like, yeah, quality starter. Feel good about his production, but maybe not super high-end,
yeah,
boom or bust type.
Well, I think when you have A-level players at so many positions, mm-hmm. that you have to, this is how you have to manage a draft, where your needs are for quality of depth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, hey, we can take a couple of home run swings because, you know, maybe four of these guys are going to make the roster. It's like, no. A lot of these guys are going to be on the roster, and you've got to make contact every single time.
Yeah. Yeah. What grade do you give the Raiders for the Ashton Jeanty pick?
You know what? Like, I'm usually pretty hard on the Raiders. I'm going to say it's an A.
Because, it's an A, dude. It's an A.
Yeah, like, hey, why not? Like, what else do you have to be fun about? Like, the Raiders, like, they aren't a super fun team. Mm-hmm. You need something to liven things up, to make things possibly magical for them. And, like, go ahead and get a superstar. Yep. If he develops it and becomes a superstar, mm-hmm. all right. Like, that's exactly
who,
yeah, that's exactly mm-hmm. what you needed at this moment. Bring in, you know, we can talk about, again, like, their best wide receiver is their tight end. And that's just not that sexy. Mm-hmm. Their second best wide receiver is Jacoby Myers. Yeah. That's just not sexy. Mm-hmm. Their quarterback, you know, you went out and got a solid quarterback. Mm-hmm. Everything about them is solid except for, you know, a couple of defensive players that are well above that. Mm-hmm. But everything is just kind of solid. You need someone who's above solid that makes you like the 49ers. Everybody on the 49ers that, you know, they have so many stars. Yeah,
they're very top heavy.
Yeah, very yes. top heavy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
different
man,
type of draft.
Needed, there were not a ton of superstar talents, and you got one. That's an A for me. And again, this is in the context of what we know right now. What do you give the Niners?
Yeah, I'm probably with you.
I give them a B.
Yeah, I'm probably just, with you, right around a B. You know, it's just like it's the pick you had to make.
I agree. I think it was the correct pick, and they were just in a tough spot.
Well, yeah, I mean, the three offensive tackles all went before you. Mm-hmm. So, okay, I'm fine with you drafting
yep.
one of the better defensive ends in the draft.
Yep, no doubt. I think they did the right thing. All right, let's dive into some of the NBA playoff games from last night, because I think we saw a franchise-altering loss last night. Mm. A loss that is going to set a franchise on a different course. An incredible couple of games last night in the NBA, and of course the NFL draft is not going anywhere. We got some day two names to watch, needs to fill, all that coming up on the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. He's James Hamm. Joe Brazil's over there. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader. Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. That guy over there in the King's Beanie, that's Joe Brazil. We're the Insiders, and we are sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're hanging out with you till noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and we're going to have a great time before then. And then, of course, we'll have a great time listening to D'Lo and KC. Feels like the A's might have turned their season around last night.
Yeah, you can see them building.
Yeah.
You know, like, the biggest thing for me is that their bullpen has let them down, like, way too many times already this year. And it's not that they've blown a bunch of leads. It's that they haven't been able to just keep a game close.
Yeah.
They've had, you know, they're running dude out there last night with a 10 ERA. And they have multiple guys like that that have just, their ERAs are astronomical. And so I feel like their starting pitching has been really solid. Their bullpen outside of Mason Miller has been hit and miss. Pulled up, Grant Holman yesterday, who hadn't given up. I think he'd had a hit and a walk in 9 innings in AAA.
Man.
And so all of a sudden they're starting to get things gelling there. But their hitters are coming out and starting to perform. And, you know, Brent Rooker's up to 7 home runs. Soderstrom's got 9. But you're starting to see the other guys, whether it's Andujar, whether it's Jacob Wilson, mm-hmm. Start to make contact, start to, you know, sort of build, get guys on base, so it's not just solo shots every single time.
And this, of course, is this isn't, oh my God, they're going to go win the World Series, but they win last night. Nice come from behind victory, 4-3 over the Rangers. Mm-hmm. Again, we'll get back into the NFL draft. We got NBA playoffs coming up too, but. And we're giving away $500. But you win last night, and you get to 12-13 on the season. And you win a division series.
Second division series, I think.
Against the Rangers.
Yeah.
So did they... Did they split with
the Mariners?
They split in Seattle. So you win a division series, which is big. But you get to 12-13, and now you host the White Sox, who are one of the worst teams in baseball.
Yeah, just a horrible team at 6-19.
You swept them in Chicago. If you sweep them again, mm-hmm. you're now 2 games over, going into a 4-game set against Texas and a 3-game set in Miami.
Okay, no, that's good. Especially as of right now, they're only 2 games out of first place.
Right.
Seattle's just hovering like
this,
it. at 14-11, leading the division with the Rangers at 14-11.
This puts them in a spot to be above 500, well above 500 if they keep playing well. You split with Texas, you take 2 out of 3 from Miami, you take 2 out of 3 from Seattle in the next series. Then you welcome in the Yankees, then you've got the Dodgers, then you've got the Giants. You have 3 of the best teams in the sport.
Ugh.
But you're giving yourself, like, they've given themselves an opportunity now to gain a little bit of momentum. And I thought last night, if their season, like you said, it feels like they're really close to breaking out. If they do, I think we're going to point to last night as one of the turning points of their season.
Yeah, it's a
big time win.
Yeah, it was a huge, huge win. And it felt like, you know, we've seen the A's roll in the second half of seasons. They're usually one of the better second half teams in Major League Baseball. And it's usually wins like this. They'll start stringing together a whole bunch of these one-run late inning wins. I feel like so far this season you have not got a lot of signature wins like this. It's either you get a great starting, great outing from your starter, and somehow you hold on and you win, or your bullpen blows up completely and you just fall apart. For me, this is one of those, like, just really, really solid come from behind wins that that you can start to build momentum. And like we talked about it yesterday with JP Sears a little bit. Mason Miller is turning into, like, the closer in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Like, his strikeout rate is so crazy. Like, the other night he came in the game, he gave up the double to Jock Peterson, which sure did look like Blade should have tracked down and caught, but he struck out the side.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, 102, 103 mile an hour gas, and then what is he throwing? A slider at like 89 miles an hour. It's just absolutely nasty. His final pitch in the win two nights ago was 102 miles an hour on the inside, paint. Just like unhittable.
Man.
Yeah, it's just wild.
I'm trying to find Mason Miller. There we go. Yeah, 19.1%, or excuse me, 19.1 Ks per nine. That 19. Is 19 strikeouts per nine innings.
Yeah. Yeah, what's he like? How many strikeouts and how many innings so far this season? I mean, it's absolutely bonkers watching him go out there and.
I don't have his. Yeah, I don't have those stats in front of me right now.
Okay.
Mason Miller, good player, should probably be an All-Star again this year. The NBA playoffs last night. Speaking of blown leads or come from behind victories, I think we saw the end of the Memphis Grizzlies last night.
Yeah.
Or at least, like, not obviously they're not going to dissolve the franchise. But whatever this iteration of the Memphis Grizzlies was, whatever chance they had to piece together the Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr. Era is over. They blew a 29-point lead to the Oklahoma City Thunder at home to fall behind 3-0 in that series. Ja Morant got hurt. He returned to the bench on crutches. They wind up losing 114-108. They won the first half 77-51. So they were up, 26 at half? 77-51?
Yeah, I wrote it down. Oh, there it is.
They lost the second half 63-31.
With 3:15 left in the second quarter, that's when Ja Morant goes down. He hits 1 of 2 at the line to make the game 67-40. They score the next bucket and go up 29, and then got clubbed from then on.
It's the kind of loss where you look around and you go, it's a similar feeling that we had when the Kings got smoked in the play-in, where you went, okay. Look, we kind of knew this wasn't going to work, but this just confirms everything that we already knew. And I think anybody in that Grizzlies front office who thought, okay, hey, we've still got a foundation here. We just need to make tweaks. Like, no, you don't have a foundation anymore, man.
Yeah, I think it's weird to watch a team that has been so good over the last, like, 5 years, like, really had built up to where you thought that they were going to be a competitor. You remember, like, the 2022-23 season, Sacramento Kings are number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Grizzlies were number 2. Mm-hmm. The reason why they fell out of contention completely last season was because Ja Morant got suspended for the first 25 games of the season, came back, like, 8 games in and trashed his shoulder and missed most of the season or whatever, all of the season, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're looking at that, when I watched, and I thought the same thing, that might be the last time we see John Morant in a Memphis Grizzlies uniform.
Yeah, if he doesn't play the rest of the series.
Yeah, well, I don't know how he's going to, and I think the series got one more game left.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Yep. But if we don't see him again, that might be the last time you ever see him in a Grizzlies uniform.
Yep.
And to be honest with you, I don't think it's the wrong thing for their franchise.
You have to go a different direction.
Yeah, I mean, if and I'll say, I know this sounds weird, but if I'm the Kings, I would at least call. I would at least try to get into the John Morant sweepstakes, because you need a superstar-level player to throw into the mix. And, you know, we talk about, you know, the Zach LaVine thing. You know, what are you going to do if Scott Perry believes that Zach LaVine should be your third best player or your third option? How do you get the one and the two? Well, one of them is that you try to take a swing on a guy like John Morant or a guy like Zion Williamson, right? Mm-hmm. Those are ways in which you can try to like get into like just a higher end ceiling for your team. Like your floor might drop as well, but the ceiling itself could go through the roof. But if I'm watching and I'm Memphis, every single time you get to this point, he gets hurt. Mm-hmm. And he gets hurt not because he's doing stupid stuff or anything. It's just the way he plays the game.
It was the biggest concern with him coming out of the draft.
Yeah.
Can a player as slight as him play as high above the rim as he does?
Yeah.
And the answer is no, man.
Well, that's why I always with Fox too. Fox has some of the similar like leaping ability and overall talent. Mm-hmm. But what I watched from De'Aaron Fox is every year he got bigger and stronger and filled out. You know, he came into the league 160 pounds, and by the time he was traded, he's probably 180, 185.
Yeah, yep.
And he's built. And the other thing that Fox did is he realized that playing above the rim all the time, every once in a while you can go put on a highlight reel dunk.
Yep.
But you need to know that like the rest of the time you need to conserve yourself.
Yeah. Like every drive can't be looking to punch on someone.
Well, that and every drive can't be like flying in as hard as you can, trying to draw a foul or trying to throw your body around. That's a good way to get hurt and to limit your ability to be on the court.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've seen a lot of hand injuries for Fox, but the overall, like the body, full body injuries have really, really reduced. And part of that's because he does the work.
Yeah.
But part of it's because he understood very quickly that if he's going to be in the league for 15 years, he's got to treat his body in a different,
fashion. I will say in defense of Ja Morant, I don't think he did anything crazy abnormal last night. I, again, like the Amen Thompson play with Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
I think Lu Dort was playing one-on-two defense. He slips.
Yep.
He very clearly slips and was trying to recover. I don't think he was trying to take anyone's legs out.
Nope. I don't think so either. But the problem is when you're barreling down the court full speed like that, and something like that happens, and you're out of control yourself, that's what happens. You leave yourself no place to go.
Yeah,
it's why you don't drive 85 down a 50 mile an hour road all the time, because if a deer jumps out in front of you, you got nowhere to go but the tree on the left.
Right,
and that's exactly what it felt like with him. He just plays so fast and so out of control so often that you're just rolling the dice all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Hate it for Ja. Hope he's okay. Would love to see him play in game four and see if Memphis can steal a win and make that a gentleman's sweep.
I picked up. I'm following.
Thank you.
Yep.
The Knicks beat the Pistons. Fun series there. And the Clippers, I think, stole the series last night from the Nuggets. Series feels over to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I think the Nuggets are looking around and they know. They don't quite have the depth to hang in there.
They're a team in turmoil still.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, we'll get back to the NFL draft. Tons going on. Day two. Who are the players that are left? What needs do the 49ers and the Raiders still need to address? We'll dive into all of that. And we'll have more NBA playoff action, of course. Coming up on the Insiders. And in the next hour, we're giving away $500. Yeah, that's right. We got a keyword coming up for you. And we're not going to hide it. We'll make it very clear when the keyword's coming. Your chance to win $500, more NBA playoffs, more NFL draft. All that coming up next. On the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. He's James Hamm. That's Joe Brazil. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're back in a second.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.